advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
You say funny things.
It's peanut butter coffee time. Got your headphones on?
Mm-hmm. Having glasses issues.
Glasses issues?
Yeah. I need glasses pretty bad. When I had the flu last week, my vision was like fucking five times worse while
it's
I had the flu.
You have a fever.
Yes. It was weird. My knee fucking hurt like I had just gotten over injuring it.
Body aches.
Yeah.
Every so often I hit a point where my brain stops disassociating the fact that I'm wearing glasses. And they suddenly are very uncomfortable and annoying.
You're aware that they're on your face.
And it takes a while for my brain to just kick back off and realize, oh no, these are the things shackled to this motherfucker's face 24 hours a day.
That's why I avoid it, man. I don't want to have to be like, oh fuck, where are my glasses? You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
my wife can't see shit without her glasses. You're already like, oh fuck, where are my glasses?
You're married
you just don't have the glasses.
No, you're married to like, the frame.
The thing is, the difference though is like, you can't see shit far away, right?
Right.
So
now I can't see shit up close.
Like, you need them. You can't even navigate the environment.
No.
Yeah. So, right. Like, when you wake up, if you're like, fuck, my glasses fell, they're not on the nightstand, now you're extra fucked because you're, like, trying to figure it out. Like,
right.
You're sort of helpless. Me, I can see things far away. I can read things far away. I can drive. It's all fucking fine. It's just in my job for computers, I need to be able to see serial numbers and model numbers and part numbers and all this shit up close. And all of a sudden, it's to the point where I'm like, fuck, I need to take a picture with my phone and zoom in. It's just frustrating because I'm like, last year I could see that.
Right. No, same thing happened to me. It turned in a year.
Like a fall off. Yeah.
It turned in a year. I couldn't fucking read shit anymore.
And then people try to show me shit on their phone and I'm like, I have to pull back.
Right.
Like they're like, look at that. And I'm all, and then people got a comment about it. Like,
right.
Yeah. Right.
I can help this shit, bitch.
Yeah. You're getting old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sucks. It's frustrating.
You need a lawnmower.
Well, you're at least like, at the point where you're
lawnmower.
You can have like a pair of fucking sunglasses or a pair of reading glasses on your hat or around your neck and you're good. I'm fucked.
Right.
Like I can't see far away or up close. Like I would have to constantly be fucking swapping.
Aren't you candidate for surgery though?
No, I don't know. I don't know about that.
What do you mean? Because you're scared you're going to go blind?
My wife did it. She couldn't fucking see. And now she can see.
I don't know.
She went to China?
Yeah, she got China eyes.
That's a fucking lie.
What? No, my wife didn't, but my cousin did, motherfucker.
Did not.
He did too.
That shit doesn't exist. Too. I looked it up.
Did they transplanted somebody's head?
Nope.
Yeah.
Not some Russian madman. That dude didn't live.
He lived for long enough to say they did it.
Sherry Cancino now?
No, yeah, she had LASIK.
What was her problem though? The distance or close sight? That whole near sight. I never understood.
Yeah, no,
that.
She couldn't see far or she couldn't see away. So like when she was driving and shit. Like at night, especially.
Right.
No, fuck no. Like bad. Like scary. And she had to wear glasses and then short contacts. Mm. And like her vision was pretty bad. Like, what is it? 21,000 or whatever the fuck it is. Like it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Like her glasses were pretty thick. Right. And then she got LASIK and now she can't see close, but she can see far.
But that's the thing. Because of LASIK?
No, because she's just getting older now. And now she can't see close.
Well, actually, because my doctor I went to basically said that the way my, and this was several years ago, but they said the way my eyes were that the LASIK surgery would mostly correct my distance vision. I might still be at a point where I would still need some low end glasses.
How long ago was that though?
I don't know, 5 years ago, probably.
Yeah, I don't know.
But they said that I would probably still need low end glasses. And then if that's the case, then it doesn't save me anything because then I still need glasses to see far.
Yeah, she went from like 21,000 or whatever with some fucking crazy whatever the fuck it was, 21 million to 2018. Like, so she saw better than the normal person. So I was like, oh, that's kind of crazy. And then used to be if you had astigmatism, which I have astigmatism, But if you have astigmatism, they wouldn't do LASIK. Now they can do LASIK. Mm-hmm. Now they have whatever the corrective procedure to do LASIK with astigmatism.
And the thing that was weird when I went to the eye doctor last week, 2 weeks ago, and because they gave me, I got new glasses. The glasses fucking sucked. Like I was blind as a bat mm-hmm. wearing these new glasses. So I went back again to get my eyes rechecked and get new lenses for the frames. And it was a different eye doctor, but at the same practice. And he did the whole thing, put me through everything. And he said, okay, and just out of curiosity, I want you to read this bottom line, and brought a thing up on the screen. And this motherfucker was ridiculous. Like I, and like, as soon as I was looking at it thinking, I can't,
it's like needle tips.
That. Right. No. And he was like, and don't just give up. Don't just say, I can't read that. Like I'm really curious. Just look at it and
tap into your superpower.
Right. He was like, just look at it and read it. And I looked at it for a second and then I read it. And he was like, yep, you got, that's exactly right. And I was like, okay. And he was like, I'm always curious to have people try that because 2% of the population can read that line. Hmm. And he said, it doesn't matter with a prescription or not. It's 2% of the population have a type of retina
brain thing
that can see details that fine. And he was like, and you know, he was like, my father was the same way. He could only still do it with glasses because I had like progressive lenses. And he said, you definitely don't want progressive lenses because they'll never be as clear as reading glasses or bifocals.
I got Geico's.
And you're used to that level of clarity and you're never going to get it. And that's probably why you don't like these glasses. So he was like, but if you have bifocals, it's going to be that clear and your brain is going to be used to it and you're not going to have a problem. He said, yeah. He said, most people who are in that 2%, when I talk to them, they oddly have like a job or a hobby that requires like really fine detail work because they're just used to doing it.
Mm-hmm. Right. You paint miniatures.
Like, yeah, I know. I was like, that's a fucking trip. Is that why I paint miniatures? Cause I have a fucking mutated retina. So anyway, that was weird.
Do you think, my daughter brought this up, are we going to call the 20s? Like, is that going to happen again? Are we going to have like the new 20s? Or is there going to be some nostalgia going to come from the previous decade? Like, are we going to, those styles going to come back into play and it'll be like relive the retro of that decade?
The hipsters now aren't.
We haven't been in a,
doing their hair like that.
Like, our generation's in a situation right now where it's going to repeat something that happened. I guess that does happen. I was trying to think about, there are people like living in the 50s that saw the 1850s or, so we're in a weird time. Like, are we going to have another 80s? We're going to have another 30s?
Oh, for sure.
You know, we're going to call it that.
Because
we're going to have a fucking depression.
We fell off because you can't call it the zeros. That doesn't make any sense. And right. I guess you can call it the teens, but that doesn't really
work. We were in a 20 year period.
Once you hit
period.
the 20s and the 30s, and that's just what you fucking call them.
Yeah.
Like, once it's 1930, you're going to be like, oh, in the early 20s, like,
it's going to be the 2020s. 2020s, 2030s.
It might be the 2020s, but I think by the time you get to the 30s, it's just going to be the 30s. People,
yeah,
the 20s aren't going to be novel anymore.
You think it'll inevitably be like harken the fucking previous decade, though, in some way. They can't help it because of marketing. It's just going to make sense. So somehow we're going to follow some trends from the 20s because it'll just be the cool thing to do.
I think people will. 20s. I think people will try.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that they'll take.
Yeah.
I think people want more futuristic things.
So you think World War III will happen in the 40s?
I think so.
Fuck, I hope not.
If we have anything to do with it, it will.
Yeah.
It's going to go down.
El Yucateco hot sauce is amazing for the
shit's going to go
it
off.
It is amazing. El Yucateco hot sauce.
El Yuco.
El Yuca.
El Yukon hot sauce. Yeah. We have a new sponsor.
El Yucateco hot sauce is amazing.
El Yugo is a small Yugoslavian vehicle.
Hot sauce.
Hot sauce, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Yugo.
It's delicious in very strange circumstances.
Three cylinders.
Yep.
Portable.
Garbage.
Mobile. Those are probably worth money.
No, they're
never
not.
Seen, you ever
they're
seen a Yugo live?
They're not worth money.
Yeah? I bet they are.
They're not.
Everything's worth a little bit of money.
No.
I could sell a shit sandwich.
You
somebody
could.
Will buy it. Homeless person will buy it.
They won't.
With what?
They just
bottle
want
caps?
Beer and
dude, I was,
drugs.
I shouldn't say it out loud. I was literally trying to figure out some way I could get a fucking rifle barrel out a window of this fucking building. Not like a real rifle, but like paintball or
a real rifle.
Maybe airsoft. Just enough to annoy motherfuckers so they'll go away. But I only have the mail slot and there's not enough angles. Like I just, there's nothing I can do.
You can get some windows put in, you know?
Can't though.
Why?
Just this fucking guy, man. We had to call the police again, wandering in the fucking intersection, stopping moving traffic, stopping out in front of moving vehicles. And they'd stop and he'd be like, y'all got 2 quarters? Like, I was like, holy shit, this fucking guy is putting his hand.
I almost ran over a motherfucker on the way over here. Got his fucking cart all covered up, all huge in the middle of the fucking road. I ain't fucking moving over. You're going to get fucking ran over.
No, people were swerving around this motherfucker.
Fuck that. Like, I will hit your shit. No. No.
I don't have to do, man.
Run him over.
I've said too much on the show already, for sure.
Why?
Because if I ever do anything about it, I'm fucked.
Scott,
I said his ass.
That's
true.
Yeah.
Say he attacked you. Beat his ass.
He is known to attack people.
Yeah. I just yell, they're coming right for me. And then I shoot him. Yeah. Do with airsoft, it'll just be assault. But I heard someone got attacked by one of these motherfuckers, and the guy had a knife, and then they beat his ass, and then they got in trouble for beating up like a mentally ill person or some shit. That's in town.
Yep. Defending themselves. Yeah. They got fucking,
They're like abusing a fucking handicapped person, basically.
Yep. They're getting aggressive around here.
They are.
I told them the you got a dollar motherfucker story, didn't I?
No, but that's the you got two quarters. That guy's aggressive as fuck. You say no, and he argues with you about it.
This guy was at one of the guys at work was at a gas station. And the guy came up early in the morning. It's like 5:30 in the morning. And he's like, you got a dollar, motherfucker.
Damn.
And Jesus. He's like, no, I don't
your
got
wife.
A, he's just the wrong guy. Yeah. No, I don't got a dollar, motherfucker. Like, you know, and then he just fucking walked off and did it to the next guy. And he was like, man, like, what if that was a woman or something? Like,
right.
To take my purse or my wallet. You know what I mean? Like,
well, the other thing I've experienced is being in restaurants and shit. They're coming into the restaurant and going table to table. Yeah. And that's where I'm just like drawing the line where I'm going to lose my shit.
I told you that.
Like I try to stay away because I honestly don't trust myself that I'm so fucking like over it that I just feel like harassed.
I will snap.
I can't get the fuck away from them. I'm like, I just want to eat with my family. Now you're in the restaurant bothering me. You're supposed to stay the fuck out there. And I only got to worry about you when I'm walking to my car, not while I'm trying to fucking eat.
Mm-hmm. The only time it really bothers me is if I'm in public and I have Vaughn.
Yeah.
Like when I'm like, I was in
Albertson's. Now, if you were inside eating somewhere and they walked up to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to bother you.
When I was in Albertson's, I was at Albertson's and I had just docked my cart next to my car. I just picked Vaughn up out of the cart and was getting ready to put him in his seat. And some dude that was walking around asking people for money or whatever, like looked at me and turned and started walking over towards me. And I just held
just put
Vaughn,
your fucking hand up.
I just held Vaughn closer and I said, don't.
Right.
And he just turned around and walked away.
Did you put your hand up like a stop sign? Stop.
No. Like that? I was like, I am standing here holding my fucking baby. If you walk up.
Rape whistle.
You got 30 seconds.
I will hit you with this baby.
I will beat you with a baby.
Yeah, I will beat you in the fucking face with this baby right now.
To protect my baby.
Swing him by his ankles.
Exactly.
And just make him tougher. Yeah.
Make fists, Vaughn.
It's a baby ball bat.
Yeah, it's getting bad here. Yeah. It's they're getting aggressive.
Little punches on the way back.
Like Papa showed you.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
Coca-Cola.
It's a hell of a drug.
I watched a whole documentary and they try to fucking act like there wasn't cocaine and coke.
Give me a break.
I worked for them.
That's Kit Kat. Yeah. But they were just like, you could tell it was like National Geographic or something. And they were like, if we say there's going to be litigation was the problem.
But yeah. It's an assumption, but it's a known thing. Dr. Pepper was made, they deny it though. Dr. Pepper was made to heal your ailments. You know what I mean? Like it's the same thing with Coke.
The other crazy thing with Coke is there is still shrouded in mystery. They just encompass some secret ingredients under artificial
flavor. All natural,
which made me worry about lots of things that we drink that have artificial flavor, knowing that Coke doesn't have to even say where
they
make
this. Well, we already talked about artificial flavor and natural flavoring. Natural flavoring is almost worse because they have all kinds of shit they can put in as natural flavor.
The thing is, I watched a video of a guy making the 1880s recipe of Coca-Cola.
Shit's good.
And he's like, all of this shit is lethal. Don't get it on your skin. Like, you can't eat this directly. Like, and it was like essential oils though. Mm-hmm. They were all extracts of plants. But then he boiled it in like denatured a fucking alcohol and all this crazy. It was super toxic. Like, did not seem like what you would
Cobra
think.
Cobra venom.
Yeah. Cobra venom is in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kobe Bryant venom.
They got did he drink it?
Dick neck skin.
Mm-hmm.
When it was all done.
It's good once it's
done. Once it's all done, it was just like, It's like a
pucker. It's just like you can't like
pucker fish. You had to take parts out.
Yeah, you can't drink carb cleaner, but once you cook it,
duh,
it's good to go.
Yeah,
put it on your green beans, whatever you want.
Yeah.
Chemistry is a weird thing. Like salt has chlorine in it and shit. Like it's weird. You know, you start messing with molecules.
Well,
and
it's just like
poison.
It's just like
or it just makes your food. Taste
last night we were talking about processed foods, and they separate. You know, they process the chemicals or the nutrients out of food, and then they add them back in. You know what I mean? It's like in the processed version of the food, like there's separating
because it needs to be homogenized.
Yeah,
like standardized.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Like everything's separated. Right. Like they
all simply
shit.
Orange juice has to be this fucking color. Yeah. It has to be this sweet. Yeah. It has to be this pH. Everything has to match. They do that with Coke. They fucking take the water because it's made at different plants.
Yeah,
that's the variable they can't control is the local availability of the water.
Yeah,
so they actually process the water through some crazy nanofiltration.
Separate everything
and make it as neutral as possible. So there's nothing in the fucking water. Yeah. It's just
like Starbucks.
Yeah, just fucking. H2O, so that is it. Right. There's no mineral content, no fucking chlorine. They get it all the way down so that they can make the Coke be exactly the same no matter where you make it.
Well, I guess that's the one good thing about drinking a Coke.
Yeah.
At least you know you've got purified
water. The water's pure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It is 90% water. And 10%
I don't know if I said, I remember I complained about making coffee at home and the coffee tasting the
consistency.
Funny.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, the coffee tasted funny. Like I had this weird taste and you asked me if I was using like sink water or filtered water. Well, I switched to using filtered water and it made a 100% difference in how the coffee brewed.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Dude, our water has gone through cycles of weird smells. I don't even know what to say about the
I think
smell.
The bums
There's
are going
almost
over
a
there.
A medicinal weird, I don't even know. It's like, I don't know what to call it. There's this weird, when I take a hot shower, when the water's hot, you can smell it. There's this weird ass fucking smell to our water that smells like
hypodermic needles.
Chemically, I don't know.
Hmm.
Smell fluoride,
plastic?
Man. No, I don't know. I can't. It's like nothing else. I don't know what it is. All I can relate it to
once
is
it's heated up
when the water comes out of the shower.
Once
it's
heated up, yeah.
Yeah, it's very prevalent.
Hmm.
So who are you saying is denying that cocaine was in Coca-Cola?
Some like it was either Nat Geo or History Channel documentary just said that Coke said in like the early 1900s that Coca-Cola had never contained a single molecule of cocaine,
right.
Nor does it now, nor has it ever. And that's their final word.
Because it contained thousands of them.
Like, yeah, it straight up had cocaine in it. Like it was some fucking French wine.
It's called
French
Coke.
Wine coca or whatever the fuck it was called. It was an alcoholic elixir that had fucking ethyl.
Well, coca. I mean, it's called Coca-Cola because the two key ingredients were cocaine and cola.
Yeah, they tried to brush under the rug, just move on past the most important and interesting part of Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
So Coca-Cola,
like the famous cocaine koala.
Exactly.
Coca-Cola.
You remember him.
For a reason.
Yeah.
Hey, kids. Hey, kids. It's a cocaine koala.
You want to see how many eucalyptus leaves I can eat?
What? 3, 4, 7, 12, 18.
His face is just all dusted.
He's the most excited koala you've ever seen. Yeah.
Yeah. You'd almost most think he's a wombat.
Excited. Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost.
Almost.
But he's crazy.
Yeah.
Googly eyes and everything.
Yeah. Nothing like the meth marmoset.
No.
That thing is out of fucking control.
He's more hyper. Just tinkering with shit all night.
Yeah. That thing is wild.
Jesus Christ.
Coca-Cola, massive company, obviously, $90 billion. It's I kept reading different articles that talked to try to give you a scale of the size of it. It's worth more than Pepsi and Nike combined.
Damn.
Like, and
but is it really though, because of the bailout money that they got? And like, I don't know, man. Like,
did they get a bunch of bailout money?
Yeah, they got saved by the government. When I was working there.
Saved by the bail.
They got saved by the bail.
COVID?
Yeah,
I see.
Yeah. Have you watched those Zach Morris is a piece of shit videos? You haven't seen those?
No.
Oh, they're so good. My buddy watches
cut
them
properly or out of
no,
context?
It goes over like an episode. It takes an episode and then he like briefly summarizes the episode. It's like they want to do this, and then Zach Morris suggests this just to fuck over this person, and then for his own gain, he comes in and does this. What a piece of shit! Like, and then just goes over the whole episode where pretty much Zach Morris is a piece of shit. It's funny.
I'll have to watch.
Yeah, they're pretty good. But no, when I worked there, early 2000s, I didn't deliver. I was a merchandiser. So I would go in and take everything from the back room, which is so weird. Take everything from the back room and stock the shelves like a store stalker would.
Right.
You just go to different stores.
The product was already there.
The product is there. Yeah. Somebody would deliver it. Like you have a guy that comes in, orders the product, and then you have a guy that comes in and delivers the product, truck driver or whatever. And then, or you'd help them unload, and then you would load the stuff up on carts and take it to every fucking morning, build displays, you know, set up the shelf space. And, real weird.
I guess it makes sense though.
Every company does it. Bread companies do it.
If you're renting shelf space from a store, you want to make sure your shit is on point.
It's what it is. Yeah. Frito-Lay does it. You know, all the chips, those guys bring in their own stuff, stock their own stuff. Same thing with bread, Coke, Pepsi, everybody does it. But when I was there, they were going under. Like they were going under. Like they were billions of dollars in debt, and the government was bailing them out because they were a iconic brand.
They're, so I mean, it is kind of big. Like they tried to come out with new Coke. I'm sure we'll get into it at some point. Right. And like, it wasn't the fact that people didn't like new Coke. People did like new Coke, but the loss of the icon of that it would never be again.
Yeah. Like it was the same thing with, like I said,
they underestimated the psychology of it. Yeah. Like the bond that people actually had. It was like their problem was,
cause I mean, I was in high school when the whole new Coke thing happened. And the problem was, like you said, they were discontinuing it. You were told like new Coke comes out, Coke goes away.
Yeah. Right.
Like, fuck off. And if you want that, you can't get it.
And they did lots of market research. They did taste tests and stuff. But if they would have showed positive.
If they would have launched new Coke and Coke, I think it would have been a success. Yeah. But to take away Coke and make that the replacement.
They should have called it Coke.
It was kind of like when Coke stopped using Coke. Like people were underwhelmed by it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. No, but it was when you texted about, hey, we're going to do Coke. It's kind of like the Henry Ford of cola. And I was like, nah, it's like the Chevy of cola, because that's what's happened. The government has kept them alive.
Right.
Same thing with these other, you know, banks and auto companies. It's kind of crazy. Like
that's a trip.
I don't know.
Yeah. So they're huge. Obviously there's only two countries in the world that don't sell Coke.
Oh, fuck them.
You know who they are?
Venezuela and Germany.
No.
I guess some Middle East thing.
No.
No. They
it'll
love
be
Coke.
Once you learn, it'll be like, oh, well, yeah. Okay,
Hawaii and Canada. Alaska and Hawaii.
North Korea and Cuba.
Okay,
yeah.
Cuba
I said
it.
Those are the first ones I said.
Yeah. Oh, you're right.
I said Quebec.
Yeah.
And North Highlander.
Yeah, they reached 99% of the Earth's population.
Yeah. On these stats were blowing my mind. On average,
how much money do they make a year?
90 billion. Oh, well, their total assets are 90 billion.
That's
800 million servings per day.
10,000 soft drinks from Coca-Cola are consumed every second.
They said if all the Coke ever produced ever in the history of Coke was placed into like a fucking river or something, and then Old Faithful, the geyser, ran 24/7, it would last 1,179 years.
Jesus,
that's how long it would take to blow.
I was trying to compare them like the bigness to like AT&T. Mm-hmm. AT&T is a $220 billion a year company.
Right.
But I don't know the assets. I know they have a lot in assets.
They have 20 brands that each generate $1 billion a year in sales. Cause fucking Minute Maid, like big shit that you don't
think. That's $20 billion
brands.
Which is, you know, like one of those testaments to you don't just have one company, you start multiples.
Right.
Like that's how Tony Robbins actually, he was talking about, a buddy that he was doing something with, like, oh, I'm glad I could get together with this guy. He's created like so many $1 billion companies, and it's like unheard of. And then also he creates a new company every day.
What?
And they don't, some of them fail. Some of them don't make it. Like, but he creates a new company every fucking day. And I was just like,
well, 365 companies, something's going to,
He's landed like seven or eight multi-billion-dollar companies. Right. And you're just like, wow. Like, but that's what
mustard
those guys,
shampoo.
That's what those guys are doing though. Like, that's what those guys are doing. They're creating, like, that's the difference between you and me, you know, me and you.
He's
you know
just hadn't gone to the grocery store. You're like, what are you doing, John? I don't have time to go to the grocery store. I'm making all these companies. Yeah. I feel like mustard might be a good shampoo.
Yeah.
That's what I've got.
He's just fucked up in his head now, just creating fucking, I don't know. The Fleshlight was a good idea.
Yeah. It was the I'll Do Better Tomorrow is what got you.
Yeah.
That's like the name of the main company.
Yeah.
I'll Do Better Tomorrow.
Yeah. Because he might hit something tomorrow, you know.
What are you going to invent today? Cokepsi.
Yeah.
That's my shirt.
I'll do better tomorrow. Yeah. Like, whatever. Like,
the human body requires 64 ounces of fluid intake every day, and they represent 1 ounce. Like globally. So of the 64 ounces by every human that's consumed, 1 ounce of that is
every
Coca-Cola.
Human's consumed.
Right. Yes. Every human's consumed. Yeah. Every human has consumed.
Oh, so their origins.
How many humans
were consumed? So let's get to the cocaine and then talk about
there
some
was
of the
no
key,
cocaine
key
and
features
coke.
And then get to
nor has there ever been or ever will be Dave.
Corporate ills that they have performed over
they're
the
evil.
Years. So Confederate Colonel John Pemberton, Civil War. He took a saber slash to his chest on April 16th, 1865.
That's, you know, you're dope when you're taking a saber slash. Yeah. Not
Civil,
a sword
Civil
slash.
War, yeah.
Yeah, Civil yeah. War. And I've...
Did he saber the moment? go ahead.
There's Mexican jokes because Civil War. Oh. It's flavor. That's for all our Mexican fans.
Dave's trying to just get through this. Come on. You know it was good. You know it was good.
The
I hate you.
The quality of the pun should be reflected equally by how upset I am.
No, you're right. You're very upset. It worked. That's a fucking win for me. That's a win for me. I guess just like his fucking bad ones, and we're just like, oh my god, so bad.
The more upset I am, the better the pun is.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
If I don't even flinch, it was a bad pun.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, if you just walk right
I should get some
it,
points
right,
for yeah. Spanish jokes, but no. Mm-hmm. That's a Spanish joke. You just couldn't tell.
I had to explain it. Like, once he explained it, I was like, oh, it was. He got it. Oh, yeah. He did it.
It was just how I looked at you. You had to know.
Oh, it was good. So he takes a saber slash to the chest. He's dragged off the battlefield. While I was researching, I learned that as swords go, the Civil War saber is apparently the most effective sword that was ever created in all of human history.
It was lightweight, long, double-edged.
Like it was, I mean, I'm not surprised. It was kind of the last one. Like, oh, true. So of course it was the best one. Like if
they don't have any stats on medieval broadswords.
If sword play continued, but I mean, they just look at the metallurgy.
Statistics on
on swords, but I think. Well, no, but
they were looking at metallurgy. They were looking at the angle of the sword, the way the sword was designed.
You can't tell me that saber sword was better than a samurai sword.
But there's a difference. Like basically it was saying.
I understand there's a difference.
No, the difference is the average. Like if you just took an average samurai sword against an average cavalry saber, the cavalry saber was better. That's not accounting for amazing fucking Hanzo originals where some fucking dude spent years forging one, but on average.
I think the other factor is the man holding the sword. So an average Civil War guy is just some fucking old hick they handed a sword to.
Right.
This fucking samurai is a fucking samurai.
Yeah, right.
Potato Picasso.
Yeah. Exactly.
So if you gave a Civil War saber to a samurai, like Tom Cruise, for example.
Yeah, he'd fuck a lobster.
Yeah, fuck a lobster. Yeah.
True.
Till it was red in the face.
Yeah. Where did that even come from?
He started it.
So Pemberton gets dragged off the battlefield, and everybody's expecting that he's going to die. So the doctors just flood him with morphine. They're like, fucking poor bastard. Like, the doctors know better. They know morphine is crazy addictive. They know, like, if this guy's going to live, back off.
Right.
Like, don't give them so much that they live and they're addicted to morphine. This fucking guy doesn't stand a chance. He pulls a fucking Lucky Luciano, though. They fucking load him up for a couple days just waiting for him to die. And all of a sudden they're like, son of a bitch, he's kind of doing better. And he ends up healing. He ends up recuperating, but he ends up with a horrible morphine addiction.
Right.
As the result of it. So
I mean, would you rather die or have, you know, the morphine addiction?
Give me the morphine addiction. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
At least you got a chance, maybe.
Right. Yeah.
Right. But basically the doctors were saying, like, this is, we would only, like, he's not going to make it, so fuck it. Like, just give him the morphine. Give it to him. Let him die without fucking screaming
hospice,
on his way
basically.
Out. Yeah. So he goes back to Atlanta and basically realizes he needs to run a pharmacy and become a pharmacist
because he needs the morphine
because it's the only way he can give himself morphine.
Right.
So he decides to become an alchemist, which would be much
kind
better.
Of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kind of. He decides to become,
if this was earlier, he'd be an alchemist. Yeah.
He decides to become an alchemist so that he can get morphine. And his morphine addiction just gets worse and worse and worse over 10 years. And he decides that he's going to look for a cure.
Is the root term alchemist tied to alcohol? Like the mixture of something like that? Like,
no idea.
It just makes me think about pharmacist, alchemist, alcoholic. You should be a pharmaholic.
Mixologist.
If you're like a drug addict, you should technically be a pharmaholic, like an alcoholic. If that is true, that alchemist is tied to alcohol.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Alchemy is different than alcoholism.
That's what, I'm saying the root of the word. Yeah.
You're not an alchemist, Brent.
It's spelled different. It's spelled different, though.
I suppose you're true.
Doesn't mean it's not derived. I'm true. Suppose I'm true.
I suppose you're false.
But we'll just agree.
I'm about to go off right now.
Yeah. Don't make me do a Venn diagram.
I like your use of Venn diagram.
Okay. Well, are you Bonaducci?
Venn diagrams are sexual.
Wasn't Danny Bonaducci, wasn't he that guy that invented a bunch of stuff, paintings and shit?
No. No.
Danny Da Vinci? Something like that. Yeah. I don't know.
Danny Da Vinci.
Danny DeVito.
He's in Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Danny Da Vinci is. Yeah. I still haven't watched that shit. God damn it.
So good. So he can't find anything that's a cure because it's all fucking snake oil bullshit. So he figures out that he's going to figure out something himself. And at one point when he was in France, he went to
see the women's underpants.
Yeah, there was a place where there was a hole in the wall.
Yeah.
Alcohol's root term is an Arabic word for black eye makeup. That's fucking weird. So my whole thought
experiment. Where are you looking up these root words from?
I don't know. I'm just super analytical about certain things, and I was curious about
that. He's trying to improve his alphabeticals.
Yeah, I'm always working on my alphabeticals. Yeah. We've talked about this.
So he can't find anything, but when he's in France, after he sees the naked ladies dance,
right?
Because there's a hole in the wall and the man can see it all, he goes and he tries a French wine coca where they mix cocaine and wine.
I thought he invented that is what I
heard. No. He already drank it.
Okay.
And then he came back and was basically making his own.
Okay. Drank it up.
So he started to make Pemberton's French wine coca nerve tonic based on what was already being sold in France. And he started to sell it, and it took the edge off of his morphine addiction. People about town were enjoying it. Like you would.
But some law changes,
coke,
right?
Spiked wine. Yeah.
Something happens where it's banned, though.
Yeah, it's called prohibition.
Oh, that's what happened.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with the cocaine.
What year was that?
Alcohol. Fuck alcohol.
Oh, yeah. It says outlawed in 1885.
Yeah.
Right.
Because alcohol can't be used.
Right.
It's required for the elixir.
Right. So the cocaine was legal, but the alcohol was not. So then he's fucked, and apparently, some historians noticed that there was a drink called Cola Coca that was presented in Philadelphia in 1885, and that he would have had access to it.
Oh, wow. I didn't come across that.
Yeah. So they think that he was like, he basically took the name and the idea of mixing coca, cocaine and cola together, but he just swapped the name.
Right.
So he's like the Bill Gates of Cokes.
Basically, yeah. But then in 1953, Coca-Cola bought the rights to Cola Coca. So they
just clean that under the rug real quick.
Exactly.
Just in case some great grandkid comes out.
Exactly. Yeah. But so he, so it was the Atlanta's Fulton County made a prohibition against alcohol. It wasn't national prohibition yet. It was just a dry county. So he couldn't make it where he lived. So
he reinvents a version of the syrup, which basically, I guess, he's stealing from those other people, though. That part I didn't see. That's 1886. He comes out with his version of whatever Coca-Cola would be.
Right. But I don't know that the Cola Coca was doing syrup and doing all that stuff. It was just a Spanish drink that was on display in Philadelphia. Yeah, I don't know if it was a World's Fair or some kind of shit. But
Scissorp.
Yeah, Scissorp. But so the drugstore soda fountains were where it was at. There was already a health benefit associated with it because people thought that carbonated water had a health benefit.
Right. Yeah.
So people drank carbonated water for health anyway. And so he added the Scissorp to it to double down. Right.
Yeah. Just think how nice that was though. Like what a retreat from fucking shitty life. I always think about
hot
that
milk,
back in the day.
Hot milk and water.
Yeah. Like there wasn't really refrigeration and shit necessarily commonly. So to go get a cold fucking drink, let alone a cold, it was a lot of times an ice cream drink when it was coming from a soda place like that. Mm. That had like ice cream sodas in multiple fruit flavors.
Right.
Like that was an escape from fucking reality,
yeah,
dude.
Was, yeah.
And prohibition was happening in this particular county. So there's people fiending for some kind of fucking fix.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? And it's a socially acceptable thing. You didn't have to hide it. So they said that the soda fountains were a place where people would come together, like female, like people could hang out and it wasn't frowned upon at all.
Right.
You know what I mean? Kind of a social, hangout to meet up.
So he claims that his new Coca-Cola invention will cure morphine addiction, indigestion, nerve disorders, headaches, and impotence.
Oh,
Because cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Is cocaine good for sex? I don't know.
Yes.
Until you take too much of it.
Right,
And then you get coke dick.
You get coke dick, just like whiskey dick.
So he runs his first ad for Coca-Cola on D-Day minus 10. And it ends up being very popular throughout Atlanta.
It took a while, though. Like, the first year of sales, he only sold 25 gallons of the syrup.
Right.
In the first year. So he wasn't like a marketing genius by any means. No. It was just like,
well, I mean, at the end of the day, he's running his pharmacy and then he's created this thing and he's just trying to sell it on the side.
Right.
Like, his business is still his pharmacy.
He's running around trying to pitch it to
Why was everything back in the day like had to have some cure?
Because everyone was fucking sick and there was no answer.
Everyone was dying. Everyone
had like, it had to have like,
now we have a pill for everything though.
These chiclets, they cure fucking,
it still is. Think about those fucking ads that say your butthole is going to fall out and all the side effects listed. They have the worst.
Well, those
names.
Are medicines, though. Like,
that's what medicine was to them back then. They just didn't have the technology for science. Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just be a pleasure drink, you know?
Now we have like fucking molecule manipulation and shit. So that's the best they could do. People were doing bloodletting at one point.
Right.
They were just like, well, something bad's in you.
Yeah.
Let some blood out and you'll make new blood, which in theory you think get rid of some of that
Dave's
bad blood.
Dave's got bad blood if he just let it out.
Exactly. So by 1988, there were multiple versions of Coca-Cola sold at separate businesses, and a whole bunch of weirdness with who he was partners with and who he wasn't and who he fucking made agreements with. A lot of it was just verbal agreements that we're in on this together with different people and shit. But Coca-Cola's around. The one thing that he did that was intelligent in the business model was, once he started to sort of franchise Coca-Cola out, all he fucked with was the Scissorp.
Right.
Like, he didn't sell the fucking carbonated water. He didn't bottle it. He didn't fuck it. He was just like, you've got a soda fountain. You've got soda water. Here's some scissor. Fucking buy it from me. Do your shit.
Here's your bag of scissor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So people start mixing it and doing different things with it, you know, et cetera. And that way other people can do it and do whatever they want with it, flavor it differently, dilute it, make it stronger, whatever.
Right.
His Coca-Cola is the pure thing that he has in mind. Everybody else can do whatever they want to with it. He's still making money.
Right.
And it ends up being a win-win. So the problem comes from a guy named Candler, a guy named Asa Candler. And I saw a picture of old man Asa Candler, and he looks like the epitome of like an evil 1920s capitalist.
Twisty mustache,
like,
and a monocle.
Just fucking he just looks like he's gotten out of his evil resort. That's like,
well, he originally didn't want to invest. He originally turned down the opportunity of investment. Cause I think, Pemberton, went to him actually for capital at some point. Is what I saw. Cause, Candler turns it down originally.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said that he tried Coca-Cola for the first time. And that was the most important glass of cola ever had, apparently.
Right.
Because he ends up investing $2,300 and gets controlling interest of Coke.
And even that's a weird story. He didn't just invest $2,300. He started, like, all these other partners who could sell Coke.
Mm-hmm.
He started to buy their license to sell Coke. And
McDonald's
at the end of the day, Pemberton
wanted to buy everything. Yeah.
Pemberton still owned it.
He wanted all the Coke.
He owned the name Coca-Cola. He owned, and even the recipe was being shared.
Right.
But everybody else who was selling it under fucking horrible names, wasn't getting any traction. Like, even
RC Cola.
Candler called it Yum Yum and Coke with a K.
Right.
And apparently it just wasn't happening. Like, something about the can, the script that says Coca-Cola,
made it.
And he wanted to buy that.
Right.
Is what he realized.
And
he
it might have been, I can't
own.
Remember whose signature it was. The actual logo is based off of someone's signature. Like, someone was like a refined man that fucking signed some papers that way. Yeah.
Here.
And it was actually based off their signature.
Buried somewhere in here. But the owner of Coca-Cola at this point becomes Pemberton's son.
Okay.
He has given full legal rights to the name brand, all that stuff, to his son. Asa can't get it. He can't take control of it. He can't do anything.
Charlie Pemberton, right? The son.
Charlie Pemberton. Yeah.
He's an alcoholic and an opium addict.
Yes. Yeah. That's who you want to leave it with. Yeah. So, Pemberton Sr., dies. And
suddenly,
yeah,
They said he had been plagued from Civil War stomach something, but sure. I think that was, I think that was more opiate.
Fucking cocaine.
Between the fucking saber to the chest and years of morphine and cocaine, I'm sure his health wasn't grand.
And a lot of the historians, the interviews I saw, they said it was probably bittersweet, even though he didn't leave to see his dream to fruition. Like, it would have never been what it is now, probably had if he died, if he hadn't died early on like that.
So his son.
Good thing for coke, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Has it and is still selling the original Coca-Cola under the name Coca-Cola. And apparently from the stuff that I was reading, Candler had made the other versions of Coca-Cola better. Like they tasted better. Everybody liked them better.
They had less cocaine.
They had less cocaine, but they weren't, weren't Coca-Cola. Like they didn't, they didn't hit, especially in Atlanta. They just didn't hit.
Think
like
about it though. Couldn't. It's sugar, caffeine, and cocaine. Yeah. And it's fucking cold and enjoyable. Like the whole fucking thing is just like, you're fucked. Like it, as much as you would with anything, you're going to be addicted to that. Yes. People are addicted to the Coke now.
Right.
It doesn't have cocaine in it. You know what I mean? And caffeine is super addictive. Everything in it was
two
fucking
things
super.
That are,
but it's just, sugar's super addictive.
It's caffeine, sugar.
Cocaine, sugar,
cocaine,
caffeine.
Sugar,
caffeine.
And this speaks to the, which I think Candler realized, he figured out and ran with eventually, the power of branding,
right?
Like brand loyalty, like all the other stuff tastes better. It's everywhere it doesn't have the around look, doesn't take like he needs to get Coca-Cola or he's not going to be able to grow because this is
it's not going to be hard to get it from an opium addict.
Yeah.
The sound of the word money. Coca-Cola, like everything it rolls about off it, it rolls off your tongue. The logo is fucking beautiful and perfect. It is very balanced. Like the whole, they didn't change it for the most part. It's largely unchanged.
No, it's
it
been the same.
Yeah. It looks almost the same as it did for 100 years.
Right.
Everything would just worked. And then they started, and like, it was early in the marketing game. Like people didn't know what ads should look like. And they started putting it on like everyday items you would keep with you, like a calendar or a notebook, just having the brand be present on things that you carried every day in hopes that you would be familiar the next time you saw it, you would make that choice because you've seen that word before. They were like pioneering that type of brand.
Well,
that all came because Ford did the same thing and it might have came from something like Coca-Cola. It has the script writing and it's been the same.
Budweiser and Ford both ran with that. It's the same font. I forget what it's called. It's the same script. It's the same font.
Fancy.
They basically were looking at the fact that it worked for Coca-Cola. Let's use it.
Yeah.
And apparently it was a formalized font of the way that like high-end people were taught to actually write cursive. So if you went to like a really
that's why that signature came from the signature.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like that's how your writing looked because you were a fancy pants. You were a dapper Dan, I'll say. You were a dapper Dan.
Dapper Dan.
So when he dies,
Spencerian script.
There it is. Candler shows up at the funeral at John Pemberton's funeral and tries to buy the name Coca-Cola from the widow for $300. So sorry to
Frank
hear.
Frank Mason Robinson.
That's who did that.
In 1885.
Okay.
It was Robinson's signature, yeah.
So sorry to hear about your husband's death. Can I buy his shit? Here's $300.
Right.
So, but he says no.
Could have got a true cut for that.
And exactly. And then
$2,300.
The kid, more Charlie Pemberton, was found dead in 1894 with a bunch of opium by his side, or found unconscious with a bunch of opium by his side. 10 days later, died in a hospital. And I just kind of thought that was funky.
Like shady?
I'm not saying Candler's a murderer, but Candler was a murderer. Like, the only fucking thing stopping me is this little goddamn opium addicted shit who won't sell me the name. Oh, what a coincidence. He happened to die with a ton of opium next to him.
And he signed this paperwork.
Exactly. Exactly. So I just found it sketchy. Nothing I read implicated him, but it just seemed really, really odd. But
well, if you're making a lot of money, you can kind of make that go away.
Yeah.
You know?
So, but in short order, he ends up, getting full ownership of the Coca-Cola beverage and it ends up costing a total of $2,300 from buying out the other people and then giving $1,000, to the other people who own the other Coca-Colas. And in 1914, one of the other Coca-Cola people who owned a different version came forward and said that her signature on the Coca-Cola company bill of sale was forged and that Candler made a fake bill of sale to buy the company and that she never actually signed that paperwork. So there was shady shit going on no matter what,
right,
for this guy. Which is odd because it's not like he was taking control of modern day Coca-Cola. He was getting control of a fucking cocaine scissor that sells in Atlanta.
Right. Like, he saw it though, just like McDonald's. That's how that happened. You know what I mean? It was the fucking milkshake machine, man.
He walked in there and was like, he walked in there and he's like, the system, the fucking what they were doing, like, wow. Right. I see a vision for this, guys aren't really interested in.
And this one fucking thing is stopping me from pulling it off.
Yep. Kill the McDonald's brothers.
Yep.
That's how I became the sausage king.
Exactly. Yeah. Is that how it was?
You killed the real sausage genetics.
Well, that's where the nickname came from. But it just made sense when the opportunity for the sausage.
Yeah. I know. You should see his mom's clit.
Yeah. It's huge. It's like a Vienna sausage. Yeah. You put six of those in a can.
Yeah. You got yourself a party.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time
since you saw a clit.
It's been a long time since since Brad said something that to me crossed a line.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Got to go with it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going with
improv,
it. I'm just letting
that
you know.
Crossed the line?
I'm just letting you know that that one like made me pause.
Oh, really?
And set me back. I don't know why. We've said worse.
Oh, yeah.
But
the bed was a mess.
Yeah. So some of the stuff that Candler does
kind of makes you gay,
over,
bro. To be honest.
I mean, tranny, your mom. I don't know.
It's sort of like pedophile-ish, though.
Is
it? It's like little boy. Yeah, it's like altar boy.
Now that crossed
the line. If we're being honest.
That's crossing the line.
I mean, you put it in your mouth. It's the size of a Vienna sausage. You know what I mean?
No, technically.
You had to make that decision. You did, though.
No.
Yeah.
No.
My stepdad told me, bro.
Oh, did he? That motherfucker. He had his fucking bifocals on that day.
Yeah.
So Candler takes over and he does a bunch of stuff. He's the one who runs with the Coca-Cola logo. He realizes it's brilliant and he fucking plasters it all over the place.
The old ads are so corny looking though. It's just like some fancy women. Yeah. Back in the day, there were no hot chicks because those are not hot chicks.
No.
Like,
he also really invented the idea of what we think of as a modern day billboard because he realized if I just plaster every city that's selling Coca-Cola with that script on the side of just fucking tell someone who owns a fucking pharmacy or whatever, hey, I'll give you $50 if I can paint this on the side of your building.
Right.
No one was doing that before.
Right.
They were like, fuck it, $50. That's a new,
I don't care if it's up there. Yeah.
Mule.
Right.
I don't know. And they would fucking do it. They'd get their mule. That shit's painted on the side of the building. It's going to help them anyway. Once Coca-Cola takes off, it's on the side of your building, you know, it's there. Like, so it ends up really taking off. So this is another thing that he
advertising
he really runs
space.
With. Yeah.
Yeah.
He invents the modern day coupon. He starts giving out little pieces of paper that were basically
like
free.
He realized he himself didn't even want to invest until he tried it. But once he tried it, he knew that if someone
free
just
samples.
Tried it,
free
if you could
samples.
Just get them to try it, then they would buy it.
They're hooked. Yeah.
And the
first time
cocaine.
Free. That's the fucking drug deal.
That's the drug deal.
The spread of Coca-Cola was so fast and this coupon campaign was so efficient that between 1894 and 1913, one in nine Americans had a free Coca-Cola because of one of those coupons.
They gave out 150,000 of those
coupons. Crazy thing is.
Well, they gave out more, but 150,000 coupons.
Yeah.
Beverages were redeemed via coupon.
Right. Yeah.
He stayed up all night figuring this out too.
Yeah. It wasn't hard to do.
No.
Yeah. The other thing was the whole Santa Claus thing in the 1920s. This was behind him.
I didn't realize that image of Santa that we see is Coca-Cola's image of Santa.
Well, I mean, yes and no. There are others like...
No, it was. I watched a documentary of the guy who created that version of abundant Santa, of chubby Santa.
But no, it was already there. Like, because that was... Because I looked into it. There was even a whole Snopes article that looks into it and points out, like, there was a Saturday Evening Post from, like, before that with a red-suited chubby Santa.
Okay.
Like... they were there, but there were also tall, skinny Santas in green and Santas in brown. Yeah,
they didn't have the white beard necessarily. They said it was like, right. What you would see around Christmas time was like some skinny alcoholic dude walking around in some fucking half-assed Santa suit any color that just looked like cold weather wear with a beard.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, it already existed, but it wasn't iconic.
Okay.
Like to say that they invented the look isn't true,
right.
But there were 100 looks. Like, you know,
yeah, the first year the ad was department store Santa had just finished talking to some kids and was shown drinking a soda. And then they were like, no, we want it to be fucking. So the next year they were like, it's with real Santa, real fucking Santa's drinking soda. But the first year it was just the department store Santa version.
And the main reason they were into this is because in the winter, Coca-Cola sales dipped.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, if we can like really make Santa a big thing and put Santa on the packages and in the advertisements and all this stuff, kids are going to associate Santa with Coca-Cola.
I think it was the Sun too. I think the Sun, if I recall correctly, was going like state to state, town to fucking town, to these like after bottling happens or something. And he's counting bottle caps inside coolers. Like when they're done and the ice melts, he would go mm-hmm. pull all the bottle caps out and then take fucking stats of like, oh, there was two of these fucking Cokes of the generic ones. And there was six of ours. And that's in this region. And so it was like 6-2. They were drinking this many Coca-Colas versus the other guy.
Right.
And he actually was on the ground doing fucking like statistics and marketing research based off how many bottle caps were in the bottom of ice chests in small towns at gas stations and
fuck.
Shit. It was fucking crazy. Yeah.
That's some hardcore data gathering right there.
They didn't have anything else. How were they going to know otherwise? Yeah.
They didn't. So he ends up, they base their Santa really on the Santa in that poem, like the visit from St. Nicholas, mm-hmm. like that whole bowl full of jelly, red suit. Like that's what they go for. And they tie it in with the poem. And I think that's probably a good thing because people would read that poem at Christmas. We've got an image that harkens that poem, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I have to say that because I read a whole Snopes article saying that, no, they didn't invent it. And I used to really like Snopes.com because it like...
Now it just ruins it for you. It's like them showing you how to do the magic trick.
No, it's not that I want it to be ruined. It's just that every article...
I want it to be ruined.
Every article that I read from Snopes during... Because I read three different Snopes articles this week for our two different topics, and all of them were so fucking smarmy and snarky and fucking holier than thou. And it's like, I'm sure you once thought that Santa Claus was invented by Coca-Cola. You could not be more wrong. And it's just fucking shitty.
You fucking idiot.
Exactly. It's just fucking weird. Like, just fucking break down some facts. But no, they were... So even though, no, they did not invent it, they might as fucking well have. It's like, no, McDonald's didn't.
They made it popular.
McDonald's didn't invent clowns, but they have Ronald McDonald, right? Yeah. I mean, Santa Claus existed, a child but predator. This is exactly.
And then Subway tried to follow that trend
with their own,
child predator. Yeah, exactly. And it didn't fucking work out.
And you know why it didn't work? They didn't make him cute.
Exactly. John Wayne Gacy, great. Come have a party.
Right.
Ronald McDonald, creepy as fuck.
Come have a party.
Come have a party.
Right.
Jared?
Yeah. No. You hang out with a big, fat, blubbery thing named Grimace, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
Like, and we still want you both at the party.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
No. So, but yeah, the cocaine issue. And again, I don't know how anyone can fucking deny this. They have like old sealed bottles that chemists have taken out and like looked at the cocaine content.
Well, right. I think
it's
Coke
proof. Like,
I think
it's
Coke
there.
As a company has to say never, nor will we ever have cocaine in it. Because probably the people who own the company now, or the company is its own entity now,
right?
As it sets now, probably hasn't, because it's a different
true.
It's
that's
a different entity.
True.
So that's how
that
they
is
can
very
separate.
True. That is
saying
very
that.
True.
The original, which is not the company now, did have it. The new company, the entity itself now, has never had it.
I think you could probably get away with
because when they bought it at a certain point, it hasn't or never has. Because
they removed it in 1903.
Yeah.
Which is still a long fucking time ago. They got rid of the cocaine.
Over 100 years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but the thing that I was reading was that Pemberton's original dosage was 5 ounces of coca leaf per gallon of syrup, which basically said that it was 9 milligrams of cocaine per serving, and a line of Coke is 50 to 75 milligrams of cocaine.
It was mellow, but
it wasn't
nothing.
Yeah, but
that's enough to just kind of bump you through, you know,
along
what I mean?
With like a lot of caffeine and sugar.
You could live a normal like day, you know what I mean? Drinking a Coke,
you
know,
you could probably get really fucking addicted to Coke.
Yeah. Or you could drink three of them in a row.
How many Cokes
and have a line.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. You know, exactly.
It's fucking down a six pack. And
it's
fucking,
like, I mean, fuck energy. You're on drinks. One. Fuck Monster. Fuck, like, nothing's going to compare to a fifth of a line of Coke in your energy drink.
Or not. I don't know. I've never done Coke. Like, maybe a fucking Monster does compare.
No.
You know what I mean? Have you done Coke? Thought we were in the nest, bro.
What's my Trent code?
Fucking Chad for
Barley?
Sure.
Barley?
Nah, Chad. No, Chad. Not
Chad.
No. Yeah. No.
Barley?
You're a Chad for sure.
I'll be Barley over
I'm
Chad.
I'm down with Barley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My name's Bernard. Bernard.
Has Bernard done coke?
Yeah, Bernard has done a lot of coke. Not a really? Lot. Not a lot, but enough.
More, yeah, more than once.
Huh. Yeah, more than once.
Backyard okay. wrestling?
No. No. Hmm.
So in 1904, even getting rid of the, like even in 1904, when they say they removed the cocaine, they kind of sort of removed the cocaine. They just started using spent cocaine leaves. So there was
you're still getting a small amount
in
it's
there.
Enough to keep you addicted. That's right, what Starbucks right. does today. They sprinkle the crack in the
yeah,
coffee.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, and it's weird because apparently there's one company in the United States that the government allows to import the coca plant, which even to this day extracts caffeine from the coca plant for Coca-Cola.
Uh-huh.
And then the bulk of the cocaine is sold from this company to one pharmaceutical company, which is the only pharmaceutical company in America that can sell medicinal cocaine.
Right.
So this company still, which is directly a,
in 2003,
an offshoot
they extracted
of Coca-Cola.
Enough that would be $200 million in cocaine in 2003.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Is how much came out of that plant.
And that's just to make caffeine for the beverages.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and they actually, it's still undisclosed as far as I could tell where they actually make the, it's called like beverage base or something they call mm-hmm. it. And they don't disclose where that's made, the location as to where that's made. And they didn't have to tell anyone what the ingredients are. Like that whole, does anyone know the recipe to Coke? Like two people know it and no one knows where it's made and you don't even like allude to yeah. what's
right.
in it.
Right.
It's doesn't the, it's that violate
Krabby,
some kind of the, FDA fucking some
it's
shit?
It's the Krabby Patty. Like right. it's the, he's got the formula locked away and Plankton's
yeah,
trying
but
to get
don't,
it.
If you're going to like, if it's a consumable good and you're going to give it to the public, aren't you like bound by fucking law to tell
that's
someone that
the crazy thing? About
that's the thing with Coke. Like that they control cocaine and coca leaves right. and they're tied in with the fucking Mexican government and a bunch right. of crazy shit. They don't actually say what's in that yeah. shit. Even the workers, I watched a thing on that where they're in the factory said, I have no idea what's in this, but I can tell you this. It was like two pallets. You know, those containers are like 4 foot by 4 foot plastic cubes that mm-hmm. you see like in trucks and shit.
Yeah.
Two of those fucking pallet-sized jugs will make 137,000 gallons of Coke.
Damn.
That's how much concentrated that is.
Yeah. That would yeah. probably, you could probably melt a body in there.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
It would have to be super like
for
toxic.
Sure. That's acidic. How they get cherry Coke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how they get cherry Coke.
And the other thing is, one thing that I thought was funny was in the South, they started to use, like back in the day,
Dave Chappelle loves Coke.
They called... Like the nickname for Coca-Cola was dope, like because it was fucking cocaine.
Yeah.
And when the Coke delivery trucks would come around, they called them dope wagons
wow.
because they were delivering the fucking dope. It's not like people didn't know.
Right.
Like people knew you drink that shit, you bounce off the fucking walls.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So in 1911, though, the U.S. government... tried to even get they had already removed the cocaine, but in 1911, for some reason, they tried to get rid of the caffeine. Like there was a big push from the government
not
to remove
caffeine
from all beverages.
That's where the caffeine free came from.
They said that it was habit forming and deleterious.
Yeah.
That's a fucking AA Ron.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
But it didn't.
Tankerous.
Deleterious.
It didn't work.
Present. Yeah.
It's one of the football players. And then finally it took forever. Like you wouldn't think this was an invention, But in 1915, they decided we should bottle this stuff and sell it for home use, because up until this point, the entire company's entire
soda fountain
business was based upon selling scissorp to soda fountains. But now they realize we can sell it at home directly.
They didn't even realize that they were approached by two businessmen. I can't remember the names of them. Bottling and they came company. To him with the idea of, hey,
Bartles and James.
They're like,
Bartles
hey, and James. Everyone has to go to this fucking gas station or whatever, or to the soda fountain thing to get this. That's the only way they can get it. What Why if they not? Could just take it home and have it at home? Yeah. And he said, we don't have the money. They didn't have the capital at the time. We don't have the money, nor do we have the means to facilitate that. If you guys want to bottle it, that's fine. And he literally, without royalty or any request for anything other than the sale of syrup, he signed the rights to these guys to bottle it. So he signs over the rights and they figure out how to bottle it. But they had these weird fucking bottles. The evolution of the bottle is super interesting too.
Yeah, it's really weird. They said there was a quote that I read that said that they wanted... once they started bottling it, they realized they needed a unique bottle because other things were
involved. Well, the bottles to that point were these things, and that's the reason it's called pop, is they had these special kind of bottles where the cork was inside the bottle and the actual pressure of the carbonation is what pushed the cork up, and it would push like a pressure valve, and you would pop the pressure valve down and it would fall into the bottle and release the cork. But the piece would be inside the bottle. And it's like not very ideal. It's like contaminating the fucking, the drink. It's maybe you're going to choke on it. And so they went forth trying to design their own bottle and they put it out on the fucking market and someone came back. And their
request was they want, quote, a bottle which a person could recognize even if they felt it in the dark. And it should be so shaped that even if it's broken, a person could tell at a glance what it was.
Well, the bottle design actually came because someone confused coca with thinking it was from the coca plant of like cocoa beans. Mm-hmm. And so it resembles the shape of a cocoa pod, of like the bean pod from cocoa plants.
And I looked up what they were basing it on. And I called bullshit because the bottle looks nothing at
so
all
it
like
changed
that.
Though,
no, exactly. Yeah. But I looked at the original bottles and I was like, oh no, okay. Those original bottles.
So it did kind of look like that. But like the problem was something with like, it didn't like logistic wise, it broke or you couldn't grab it or do something. And then, so someone came back and they kind of emulated the female form in that bottle. Their idea was this,
they had
labels on it. And there were a lot of people that were fakes. And so, there was no real refrigeration. So when you had all these things bottled at gas stations, they were in ice chests and the paper labels would just fall the fuck off of them. So it's not a big, like you grab a soda and you'd be like, I got a soda. I don't know which one I got, but I got one because the labels all fell off. So then that other company came back with that very unique shape with it embossed into the fucking glass and everything. And it's what you're saying. You could tell in the dark.
Yeah.
It was indistinguishable. Yeah. It was kind of a sex sells thing because it resembled the female form.
Yeah.
It was hitting it at like multiple levels.
Right.
So,
and those Coca-Cola coolers are worth a lot of money.
Fuck all that Coke stuff is.
Yeah.
But then they patented the bottle design and whatnot.
Right.
And then they a bunch of people were bottling. So those guys got the right to bottle, and then they went out and sold their right to bottle like to other people.
That's why you have the Coca-Cola bottling company, which is different from Coca-Cola.
Which ended up being a smart move because he probably would have never pursued that or gone that far to get through all of that.
And I think that's what it is now. It's under the authority of the Coca-Cola bottling company.
Who you worked for?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's who it is now. Yeah. That's who owns Coke now. It's
so those guys started to sort of like franchise out to smaller people, because what would happen is people didn't want large territories. They wanted, it was like a 25-mile radius from town square, because that's how far you can make it with a mule-drawn cart to go from your bottling plant to the furthest point of where your town reached. And so they didn't want large territories. So it started to become these little bottling facilities that were like strategically located, and they sold off those rights to those places. But then when they came out with the uniform bottle, and they had to roll that out, and they required it to be uniform across the board.
But I think they're still separate companies, because I think when you get a can of Coke, it says that it's bottled by the Coca-Cola bottling company
under the authority of Coca-Cola.
Under the authority of Coca-Cola. So I think it's still two different companies.
Yeah, no, Coke's making the syrup. Yeah. And then the bottling company is those guys. Like that's the same company.
Right.
They would just buy the syrup, and he was fine to do it because it doesn't matter. You went through all the trouble to figure out how to make these bottles. You figured out the logistics of distribution. Right. You figured out all this stuff, the manufacturing line, all the factory
you
shit.
Go bust your asses and I'll give you this.
And I'll give you the syrup. And it doesn't matter because I'm selling more syrup because you're selling more bottles. You're making it now.
Exactly.
You know, and they even end up inventing the six pack, because what was happening during during like wartime efforts or something, there was a shortage of metal. So they start making wood six packs and 12 packs. And they're expecting house moms are like, oh yeah, now we can go get our own Coke and bring it home. But they have to lug these fucking things that the delivery driver is having a fucking tough time stacking these wood fucking things full of glass bottles,
right,
full of liquid. They're super fucking heavy. And so they come up with like six packs. And then they finally come up with like a little cardboard six pack. And that's actually the invention of the six pack. That was the first person to do that.
So one of the things that I knew that they had some interesting World War II scenarios that they ran into. One of them I had never heard of before that I thought was funny. So did you guys run into the thing about white Coke?
White. Oh yeah.
White.
Because some
say don't eat the yellow Coke.
There was like a need for sugar, and sugar was such a,
no.
Yeah.
This is a different thing.
Not the clear Coke.
No.
Oh, okay.
They tried to
make clear Coke back in the day, like Pepsi, Crystal Pepsi.
World War II, they had to make bottling plants in Europe and the Pacific because they wanted Coke. They wanted to get,
no.
This is different than Fanta.
Oh, okay.
They wanted to get Coke to the soldiers.
Right.
So they created a line of distribution and so forth so everybody could get Coke. And
they actually shipped factories as opposed to shipping bottles because it was easier just to ship a fucking factory over there and build it.
So, however, Coke by that point was a symbol of America, right? So there was one of the top generals in the Red Army named Gregory Zhukov, got a bottle of Coca-Cola from General Eisenhower, and he fucking loved it and wanted to drink it every day. And he couldn't drink it because everyone would see it and know it was Coke. Even if he was drinking it in a glass, they would know he was drinking Coke.
Right.
So Coca-Cola started making clear white Coke that didn't have any coloring in it so that this fucking general could drink Coca-Cola in front of his troops.
Well, there was
no
also
one would
clear,
get mad.
Clear Coke for like reasons of like the sugar during war. Somehow when they made the caramel coloring, it's like burnt sugar or something.
Yeah,
and
they
so
couldn't get it or
they
something.
Couldn't get as much sugar. So they tried to make clear Coke for a time and see if they could just get away
just
with it during
back.
Wartime.
Yeah.
And people insisted, even though it was only the coloring, that they could taste the difference and they didn't get away with it. So it maybe might, that worked hand
I mean,
in hand with
caramel,
that.
Right, like, that might be where they got the clear Coke from for the general.
Yeah.
But apparently a bunch of the Red Army was drinking Coke that wasn't labeled as Coke and was in clear bottles to make the generals happy. But yeah, the Fanta thing was so once the war was in place and Coke obviously has bottling plants and all that stuff in Germany, and everything started to become harder and harder to get in Europe. So you couldn't get the sugar, you couldn't get the fucking coca, you couldn't get the stuff that you needed to make Coca-Cola. And by the time the Reich was in place, the Coca-Cola company was basically cut off from the German Coca-Cola company. They had no way to do anything. They couldn't talk to them. They couldn't do anything. It was just they're over there in Germany. But the people in Germany, a guy named Max Keith, who was German, took over the Coca-Cola operation in Germany. And they started to make like a ginger ale type soda using the Coca-Cola factories that, because his concern was this is wartime and all these people need this job. And just because we can't get the ingredients to make Coca-Cola, can we make fucking something so everybody can keep their jobs? Right. So he ends up,
they made it out of like leftover Milk Whey. And
yeah.
Shit.
So
like,
weird.
Gross.
It was made out of whey and apple fibers from cider presses. So they would make the cider and then they would take the pulp left over from cider, mix it with whey. And then they would do something and they would throw in whatever fruit they could get to get some sweeteners. They didn't give a fuck what it was.
Alchemy.
If they could get fruit, they would put it in there. They ended up using a lot of beets at one point because they could get the sugar out of the beets and the beets could grow in Germany. So it was just this complete fucking Frankenstein bullshit soda that they had to come up with a name for. And they, at one point in one of the meetings, someone said that they wanted it to be fantastic and they were like Fanta.
Yes.
So they end up making Fanta and selling it so they can keep the factories open. and it works, and they sell Fanta. And then as the war is winding down and there's finally communications in Germany again, everybody at Coca-Cola was like, that son of a bitch. Like, that cocksucker used our companies, created his own fucking brand,
right?
Like, did well, was completely successful. He's probably a fucking Nazi, this goddamn cocksucker. And then as soon as the war ended, he like flew to Atlanta and was like, well, guys, this is what I've been doing. I hope I didn't, you know,
and
step
gave
on
them
any
all
toes.
The proceeds.
Gave them all the proceeds. And they were like, oh, shit. Okay.
Sorry about that.
Like, you're cool. Like, you're cool. Yeah. Like, so
thanks,
we'll just
for keeping
keep
the brand going.
We'll just keep making Fanta. And then they refined Fanta and made it taste consistent.
And that's my shit. Like, if I drink Coke, I like cherry Coke, but now it's changed to, in LA. Have you ever been to the Hat? Mm-mm. It's like a little burger stand.
No.
If you ask for a cherry Coke, they do half Coke, half cherry Fanta.
Fanta. Oh, nice.
Delicious.
Nice. Orange Fanta is dope. Grape Fanta.
Yeah. My kids
dope.
Like Fanta. Fanta. Yeah, however you want
to
say it.
So Coke was trying to get an international like presence, and they were going to places like the UK didn't have a history of cold drinks. A lot of other countries didn't have cold drinks, and people were like, what the fuck is this? Like, it just didn't really hit with them. But because of the war effort, they end up with like 64 bottling plants, because the soldiers were demanding, like, it was like 6 million bottles a fucking day or something during the war effort. Some crazy
they
fucking
needed
thing.
It, right?
And they couldn't ship it across. It didn't make sense. So they literally shipped factories and set up the bottling plants and production there, and they ended up, when the war's over, there's 64 bottling plants across Europe. And so it's not like you can just keep on bottling. It was like, it was wartime, you're fucking guest, like, we'll let you do this because you're our ally,
right?
But the factories existed. There Figured were people out. Working yeah. there. A lot of the local people had tried Coca-Cola and now had kind of
got a taste for it.
Right.
And so, but relationships were developed through, you know, the logistics of all that happening and them having to talk to people.
So
now they have connections.
You're employing.
So the talks started, and they started to, like, they planted the seed and basically had a foothold. And that's how they kind of became international. And Coke started to spread across the world because of that. So it made the war made it possible.
Right.
Yeah.
And now they're fucking massive.
And the whole thing, man, like, it was a morale booster. It probably played a significant role psychologically for soldiers.
Yeah.
I know, dude, I was homesick as fuck. Like, when I was backpacking Europe, super fucking hungry, had no fucking money, feet bleeding, uncomfortable as fuck. And literally McDonald's, like, went there, got a fucking Coke. And it was an immediate thing of like, all right, everything's gonna be
kind
okay. of
feel
like everything's gonna be fucking okay. You know, like, calm the fuck down.
This Coke, this cocaine's
Coca-Cola
hitting
over
system here.
You know, there is a thing with like Coke where it's just like, fuck. Like, I remember getting out of tacos.
It's familiarity,
dude.
You know,
busting
what I mean?
My ass at fucking tacos till 3 a.m, and then I would fucking drive through McDonald's, drive through and get a big ass fucking Coke. And something about, I didn't come across it, but allegedly McDonald's has their own version of Coke.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like,
that's
maybe
it tastes different.
Maybe theirs has sugar is going to be my guess, because the United States has high fructose corn syrup,
right,
where all other places that serve Coke have sugar.
Right.
We're the only ones that do the right. high fructose.
Cause a lot of people I know will only drink the little glass Mexican bottles.
Cause those have sugar.
It's got the sugar.
Somebody like that. They only drink the little Mexican
bottles. It does taste different.
McDonald's fucking Coca-Cola does taste
it's, and it's
argue,
lighter. It's lighter.
I'm going
to
argue
like
that it's crisper. It's got more. It's more carbonated.
Yeah. Yeah, it might be the ratio.
It's one of the reasons I like Mountain Dew. It's more carbonated.
It's the same
it, like,
thing
burns
of a,
more
a Sonic. A Sonic Dr. Pepper. It's
oh, really?
It's more carbonated, less syrup, and it tastes better. Like
right.
it's a better flavor. So I don't know. Yeah,
and the magic,
no,
McDonald's also has a magic straw.
You're right, because a lot of places I go, I don't really get Coke. Like, I won't just be like, yeah, I want a Coke.
Right.
Unless that's all they have and I want a cola.
Right.
But McDonald's is one of those places, instead of like something else that they have, I get Coke.
And or I get their
there's
orange
a synergistic
drink.
Thing
McDonald's
too.
McDonald's
like
orange
fries.
Drink is also delicious.
Oh, that is a thing. That's from more of a childhood, I think, because I used to get that when I was little. What is it? It's just their orange
drink? It's high C, isn't it?
Oh, is it high C?
Unless they changed it. It used to just be orange. It used to just be McDonald's orange soda.
Nah,
they
it's like high C.
They
or
didn't
something.
Have a label for it at the time.
I'm looking.
I'd be if it's probably either high C or Fanta, because I think they
it says
both.
Orange high C.
Yeah.
High C orange.
High C. Coca-Cola owns high C.
Yeah. So some of the corporate evils and
it says McDonald's is killing orange high C.
Oh,
bam.
Damn.
Something else. Panda Express went to Coke. They were all Pepsi. Yeah.
It says, speaking of fast food, you went and got a Beyond Taco. Yeah.
How'd that go? From Del Taco?
Yeah. It was. So here's the thing. I don't like Del Taco's tacos.
Which one is better, Impossible or the Beyond?
Impossible.
Impossible. Yeah. So the Beyond
Impossible. Impossible tastes more like real meat.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I would say the Beyond Taco. I don't like Del Taco tacos. I'll start with that. They taste very cafeteria.
To me.
I don't know what it is. Like Taco Bell tacos are way better than Del Taco. So.
And those were the original.
The Beyond Taco.
They don't have
is
the
better than a Del Taco taco. For sure. Like, it's definitely the better. Really? Yeah, it's better than a regular taco at Del Taco. Absolutely. Huh. I would eat a Beyond Taco, and I never order a regular taco if we go to Del Taco. They're just fucking
gross. They're like your mom's taco, the Beyond Taco.
Yeah, it's beyond that.
Yeah.
And we're beyond that, you son of a bitch. So, anyways, the problem would be is the texture. It's kind of pasty.
Oh,
like, it's the meat is soft. Like, on first impression, had you not told me what it was, I would have thought like, it was some type of like
The Jack in the Box meat. Like, Jack in the Box meat.
It's like it's mixed with beans, is your first thought. Like, it's like there must be a bean content.
Plant based
protein. But it tastes good, though. But it's fucking pricey as fuck.
I have
$2.50 for a little shit taco.
Like. I have to wonder if. I have to wonder if it was overcooked or if it was sitting too long because I eat like a lot of different
meat?
Like fake ground beef stuff and the texture is never where the problem is. Like the texture is
I think
is
just
not
coming from me
problem.
Having a ground beef taco, like there's some gristle to it. There's some, you know what I mean? Like fat, when you bite, there's gristle to ground beef. You feel it kind of like tie together and try to bond together. And it had the shape of meat.
No, they've got like some of them has that kind of,
like you could push it with your tongue and just smash
like
it.
The Gardein crumble has that kind of mouth feel, like that almost gritty feel.
I'll say this. Like if you had it both in a bowl, I feel like the Beyond meat, I could have taken a spoonful and swallowed it like it was oatmeal. On a spoonful of ground beef.
You can chew it with your tongue.
Spoonful of ground beef. You wouldn't try.
You have to
would feel uncomfortable. You tried to swallow it without taking a drink or chewing it.
Right.
But the Beyond, I would be able to eat a spoonful and just swallow it like it was oatmeal or something. Like there's still consistency there that's of both.
Like I said, I'm curious. I haven't had it and I don't really give a shit one way or the other, but I'm curious if it wasn't, if it wasn't cooked right or if
you
they added
to get
too
no
much
cheese,
water or something. I'm curious if you had it again, if it would have the same texture.
I'll because try it
the,
again.
The texture
might be the place. Yeah.
The texture isn't normally what's off with fake ground beef.
Yeah. Like the taste was good. It didn't really taste like meatness. It was very likened.
Not in the way that you're describing. The way you're describing the texture isn't normally what's wrong with
it. But taste wise, Jack in the Box taco meat is as close as I could say. It tastes a lot like that.
I'll get it at some point. I never eat fast food. So, I mean, I have a fucking Carl's Jr. across the street from my house and I've still never gone there and gotten
it. They have the Beyond too, or they have Impossible?
They have the Beyond. We got it when we came back from the New York. I got it.
Is the Impossible? Is the Impossible? Yeah. Is the Impossible more expensive than the Beyond? Is that why?
The Impossible is only, the Impossible is more expensive, but I think it's because of where it's sold. As of now, the Impossible burger is only sold at like a sit down restaurant, not a fast food restaurant. Cause the FDA hadn't approved their weird heme yeast modification thing. But now that they did approve it, and they can ramp up production, you'll probably start to see it at some fast food restaurants and you'll probably start to see it at some grocery stores. But
I sort of just think like, is it early enough to still invest in a company like that?
No.
But I looked at the problem because it's like, oh damn, that's in Del Taco. What if that stays? What if it goes to Taco Bell? What if it goes everywhere? And that's going to be at Carl's Jr.'s. Beyond specifically, I don't know on Impossible, they have some issue where the people that make the meat for them, they have no written contract with them. It's like a handshake agreement.
And you don't want to. It's fucking crazy. It's Coca-Cola.
So they're very volatile. Like at any given time, that company could just say fuck no and not make their shit.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And they'd have to find somebody else to make it.
Yeah, Beyond and Impossible. Beyond is doing more strides than Impossible is right now.
But Impossible is better, though.
Impossible is better. But so. Beyond is more widespread. I think White Castle has Impossible.
I've had an Impossible.
I think it's the only fast food restaurant that has.
I'm going to go to Hinsworth and get a Beyond burger because they have them both. Mm-hmm. I had the Impossible burger. I'll be honest, the last time I had an Impossible burger, though. I don't know. Like Chris Farrell was saying, you got to get the Western Impossible.
Oh, yeah.
Because like onion rings and fucking barbecue sauce and all that shit.
Yeah, but you should be able to eat the hamburger patty by itself or the Impossible patty or Beyond patty by itself. Like
those Boca burgers, can you have those? Are those vegan?
Not most of them.
Those are like vegetable.
So what's not vegan in it? There's egg or something maybe?
Most of them have whey protein or egg whites.
as a binder. That
for same thing with Morningstar Farm, but Morningstar Farms is switching to full vegan.
Well, I'll tell you what, the Boca Burger, like the regular traditional Boca Burger, I know it's not vegan, I guess, but if you barbecue that shit and you're someone that puts everything on your hamburger, like the whole lettuce, tomatoes, onions, pickles, mustard, mayonnaise, that shit.
So you shouldn't have
you
to
could
do
trick
that.
Your friends though. Yeah. Yeah, but that's how I eat a burger. Like if you came over and I cooked them, like you might not fucking know.
I'm like cheese and sweet baby Ray's, dude. That's all you need. A little bit of onion. I go lettuce.
I'll be honest. Like some of the most important part, I would almost, if you're going to take something away, I'd almost take the patty off and have fucking cheese, lettuce, tomatoes, pickles, onions, mustard, mayo.
That's for me and you liking to disagree. Yeah,
exactly.
I'm telling you, to disagree.
Mm-hmm. Corporate ills. I was a little bit disappointed that there wasn't a whole lot. Like I was
as far
waiting.
As bad stuff. There
as
is.
As far as the bad
you
stuff.
You didn't read about the fucking like military fucking crazy shit in Mexico and Colombia.
Here's the stuff that I read. I read that there was a bunch of shit in India. Again, I mean, the stuff I read, none of it's good, but I was waiting for a much
it's
longer
all the same,
list
It's all
shit.
The same corporate
so,
bullshit.
Depleting water supplies in India, pesticide Arrowhead. Residue in the Coke in India. Nice. It got so bad that India banned Coke and Pepsi from the entire country.
It's probably their own fucking runoff water from their...
Maybe. Like, but then they ended up creating... some Indians created a soda called Thumbs Up without the B. Just
Thumbs.
Thumbs Up.
Like that.
By the time the Indian government let Coke and Pepsi back in, Thumbs Up owned 80% of the beverage industry in India. So what did Coke do?
They bought Thumbs Up.
Yes. And then they said, fuck it. Okay, here's Thumbs Up then. So they bought Thumbs Up and now they still own 80%. Now they probably own 90% because they also sell Coke.
Yeah.
In Guatemala, a lot of labor disputes with they were trying to unionize in Guatemala. And the government sent thugs to fucking beat up and break legs of the people that were trying to unionize. And all indication is that Coca-Cola was like fully aware and in support of the government doing this to stop it from unionizing because it would save them money.
Yeah. And I can tell you, they did not want you to unionize when I was working there.
Oh, I'm sure.
They hadn't unionized yet here.
Mm-hmm.
And they brung in like the big wigs to come in and talk to you. Like they set us in a room. Like it was crazy. Like it was weird.
Right.
It was really, really weird.
Right. Cause they'll lose billions of dollars. Cause it'll spread like a virus. Yeah.
And they were worried.
Yeah.
They were worried.
Yeah. So, and that's where some of the claims come in Colombia. There was a lot of union talk, and allegedly what they say is there was actually a lawsuit concerning it because a company that does the bottling in Colombia had like hired paramilitary fucking people to murder like 9 fucking union leaders.
Damn.
Got murdered in Colombia, and then
welcome to Colombia.
Yeah, but it was Coca-Cola. The deal is like they said, so Coca-Cola got out of the lawsuit because they don't own the company that does the bottling in Colombia. But they do own controlling interest of the company. Like they don't own the company.
That would be
controlling interest.
If you own
controlling
interest, you own the company.
Yeah. There's some shit. I just didn't have enough time, but if you look up, like if we would have gone that way with research, I almost did it because I was like, okay, Dave's going to do the traditional history of business profits, the fucking stats, you know, cocaine being in it there. I didn't do it, but there are like documentaries that are like the dark side of fucking Coke, like bloody Coke bottles. The fact that,
but
the
it's fucking like
ocean, like how many millions of those fucking bottles that are making islands and fucking icebergs in the fucking sea are from Coca-Cola bottles. And
but
shit.
That I can't say that's Coke
or 100%
bottling.
Yeah.
That's, you know
that's
what I mean?
Like,
that's
like
the trash
that's
empire.
That's the you know? That's everybody. That's fucking bottled water. That's fucking. So it's like when I was looking at it, I was looking for what shit did Coke specifically do? That's something that everybody's doing. It's not something that we should ignore or something that's cool that they're doing.
Well,
it.
Who knows? They
but
might.
Everybody's.
I know they would have tested and found cocaine in it, but we don't know what the fuck's in it.
No.
You know what I mean? There's still that thing of the undisclosed location and ingredients.
Yeah. So it's listed as a trade secret.
Right.
So, and if you look up what a trade secret is, it's basically bound by law that they don't have to say what's in it.
Then anything could be in there. There could be fucking Viagra.
Yeah. Because it's imperative, you know, to the business to keep it a secret, or else anybody could create it. It could harm the business, all that stuff.
There was
whatever
fucking KFC, recipe,
whatever the fuck whatever the fuck they did or the ties they have, but because it is an iconic brand, they're not going to change it.
Like, there was a wrongful death claim. There's been some crazy shit for health, but like when you hear hear this one, you'll be like, well, fuck off. Like,
you're 800 pounds.
This chick in New Zealand was drinking 2.6 gallons of Coke per day.
Oh, yeah. Jesus.
And which equates to, this is how much sugar's in that motherfucker, though. So picture a milk jug, 2.6 gallons, so almost 3 gallons. So three
two
milk
and a half,
jugs.
2.5 gallons.
Yeah. Three milk jugs almost full of Coca-Cola every day. So I don't know.
That's
four 2 liters maybe. Mm-hmm. And so that's 2.2 pounds of sugar.
Fuck.
Imagine 2.2 pounds of sugar on the table, Jesus, with a fucking spoon,
half,
dude.
That's half a bag of sugar.
Yeah. That's a fucking shit ton of sugar.
Like a big ass bag of sugar is a 5 pound bag of sugar.
It's a solid gram of caffeine. So she had a heart attack.
Yeah. From caffeine.
Yeah. That's what happened to her. So, but she was drinking fucking gallons of fucking Coke.
The what,
there,
I mean,
there was a chick on My Strange Addiction that was drinking 22 cans a day or something.
Jesus.
She would have like two in her hand on her way to the car while drinking one.
Stop it.
Yeah. Because she knew she would make it to where she's going.
The one thing, I mean, that I will say is an ill that they do, that they were one of the leaders in, is marketing at Utes.
Right.
The way they target children and the negative health effect it has as children, that's one of their big ills for sure. And I've even like...
Have you been to Mexico?
No. Well, I mean, like, in passing.
Mexicans love their Coke.
They drink
twice as much as Americans, I think the stat was.
And I think the other thing is that we know it's not okay to have that with breakfast or something. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that we have a cultural thing where like Coke is a thing that you have with lunch or dinner.
Tacos and burritos and shit for breakfast.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so it's kind of a thing, you know?
Yeah. It's just like the cultural difference, which would be like, oh, you can have, you wake up and be like, oh, I'm thirsty and have just go get a Coke. Here we'd be like, oh my God. I tell my kid, like, you have to wait till later in the day before I let you have that garbage.
Exactly.
Why is that? Like, why am I, you have to have your garbage at dinner time.
Cause one of the things that they do that is pretty shitty, and they were one of the big pioneers of doing it, was targeting schools.
So they still are,
and they still do it for sure. But, and like one of the things that they do is, I remember a school here locally that I tutored at when I was in college. It was a brand new high school at the time, and they do this in junior highs and grade schools and stuff as well. But it was a brand new high school. They couldn't afford bleachers. Mm-hmm. They had no money for bleachers around the track.
Coca-Cola paid to put them.
Coca-Cola came and put in the bleachers, and the side deal was they had to sign they wouldn't reveal how long the contract was, that they would exclusively sell Coke in vending machines on campus. All of the trash cans are Coca-Cola trash cans. Yeah. The scoreboard are giant Coca-Cola scoreboards.
Yeah. They fucking took over that school.
Everywhere that you could put a logo. I think even like when you see that, when you drive by the street and there's a thing where the sign says like graduation,
Coca-Cola
May 17th
High
or whatever. It's like a little Coca-Cola thing.
The Coca-Cola class of 2019.
Basically, but it's like, but guess what? We have bleachers, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, they do that all the fucking time. And they just, because it's all about branding, those students are going to leave having consumed Coke for the four of the most influential years of their lives. And when they graduate high school, they're going to be branded.
They're
to
indoctrinated.
Coke. And they do the same thing at colleges, which isn't as bad as with children.
They went to the Coca-Cola Under the Sea dance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the same thing, like I work at a Coca-Cola school, but I went to a Pepsi school.
Yeah.
And there's one or the other, like that you sign a contract with one or the other. So when I went to the Cal State here, it was a Pepsi school. And when I got hired at Bakersfield College, I was bumming
because
what the fuck? Like I can't get a Mountain Dew out of a vending machine.
Yeah. This is bullshit.
At my fucking campus. This is bullshit. Like what the fuck?
Fuck you, Coca-Cola.
But everything, like you can't do it. Like you can't sell, like if you like,
Restaurants don't sell both.
Yeah.
Right.
The only thing they can do is they sell Dr. Pepper, either Coke or Pepsi, because Dr. Pepper is its own brand.
Right. Dr. Pepper, Snapple, 7-Up or something like
that? Dr. Pepper, no. Dr. Pepper is the Cadbury group. It's a different.
Whoa, really?
So is 7-Up a different thing?
7-Up's a different thing. Yeah. 7-Up has its own company.
I know Dr. Pepper is also Snapple.
Yeah. 7-Up, I think they own A&W.
Yes.
You know, all that stuff. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Hawaiian Punch, all that shit.
Yep. And there's RC Cola. Don't forget
RC Cola.
Royal
Crown. That's 7-Up.
It's actually a really good
7-Up
cola.
Owns RC.
Royal Crown.
Actually,
it's a good cola.
Good,
it's actually pretty
good. Very crisp and refreshing.
So the one last thing that I did want to bring up was, did you read about the Magic Can?
Ooh.
The one that used to spit those dollars out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had the Magic Can, and they had a campaign where they put
a bad idea. Like,
they put $4 million in Coke cans, and they had to make the can feel exactly like a regular can, so it was still filled with water. And you would open it, and there was a device in it that as soon as you kicked it open, the money would pop out of the Coke can.
Yeah.
A little rolled money would pop out, and you'd realize you won. And then they realize that some of the machines might not work, so it might not pop out. So they basically filled the water in the can was filled with sulfur so that when you opened it, you got a big whiff of shit.
That's just a terrible idea.
Coming out of your Coke can so you wouldn't drink it. So you would open it and get a fucking shit can. But then some of them would spring leaks and all the Coke section smelled like shit. One kid didn't know and opened it up and drank it. The fucking sulfur liquid water? And like had to go to the hospital with a stomach
ache. Here's your ailments. Yeah.
But that was their way to get
remember there used to be codes in the bottom of the cans at one point? Uh-huh. Like you would drink it. And then have to look in the fucking can and then see the code in the bottom if you won shit.
Or a bottle cap code, which now is just like scan it on your phone. Go to our website. Give us your email address and see if you won. Yeah. Fuck off.
It's a way to collect information.
Yeah.
Didn't you get a bunch of those from Dorito bags that people were sending us?
No, Mountain Dew caps.
Yeah.
That was
and Dorito bags.
Yeah, that
huh?
was for.
Oh, fuck off. Didn't you do that? Oh, yeah, I did.
No, that was different.
For what was it for?
He didn't drink
it. That was for Titanfall.
I know. How was it different? Because it was for something you liked?
Well, because it wasn't come to my website and enter all your information on the one in a million chance you might fucking win something.
Oh, it was instant for sure you got points.
It was instant for sure you got shit in Titanfall. You went into the game, you entered the code in your Xbox, your shit showed up in game.
You got points for it.
That was different.
Versus like trying to win a cruise or some bullshit.
Some fucking
bullshit. Dude, every time we walk in the fair and you see all those fucking mouth breathers filling out the win a car thing.
Yeah.
You're like, you fucking idiots.
You can't afford
so
the tax.
Much fucking shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to get so much fucking garbage email. You're on every fucking list. They're going to call your fucking phone number.
Yeah.
Like, why are you filling that out?
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Because they might win a car.
Right.
Somebody, maybe they.
You got to pay the tax right then and there.
You do have to pay the fucking tax.
Yeah. Just so you know, if you don't have a few grand in your pocket,
we had a relative,
you don't want to win the car.
We had a relative that fucking won on Price is Right. They got like a fucking car, a vacation, a bunch of shit. And it was like 19 grand in taxes or something to get everything.
Right.
Yeah.
What if you don't have that?
You don't get it.
Yeah.
You don't fucking win it.
Right.
You got to take out a loan. You got to get a car loan for the car that you won.
Yeah.
Basically.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. If you win a $20,000 car, but $19,000 in taxes on all those other shit.
But you get a vacation.
Fuck that vacation. Fuck the car. All right. Social media winner for episode 385 Hollywood Shootout is Eric Beltran, aka at ebeltran2008 on Twitter. Is on Twitter? Instagram. Instagram. That's on Instagram. So he's going to win a sticker pack from Print Dirt Cheap for sharing on Instagram. Super helpful. We always appreciate that shit because the man's trying to keep us down. So tell your friends about us. Repost when possible.
Could be a woman trying to keep us down. Not necessarily just the man.
Yeah, we don't have to make it gender.
They might be identifying as a woman.
That's the janitor trying to keep us down. Who knows what sex they are.
Right.
Yeah. Anyways, also thank you to El Yucateco Hot Sauce. That's our primary sponsor. You can get it at most major grocery stores. They have it at Walmart. They have it at Target. They got it on them internets. You can order it directly from them on their website at El Yucateco hotsauce.com. Is it El Yucateco hotsauce.com? What is wrong with us?
It's elyucateco.com.
Just elyucateco.com. Yeah. I think it's because I type so many different fucking things. I have like hashtags and predictive text start fucking doing shit for me. I'm just starting to forget it. But
I don't know my own shit half the time.
Yeah. But anyways, go buy some stuff. They got swag. They got fucking hats and jackets and flannels and fucking blankets and beach towels and holsters. They got all kinds of stuff. So if you're a hot sauce fan and you want to take it to the next level, that's where you do it. You can use code SOFAKING to save some money when you do it. Also, thank you to Print Dirt Cheap. Go to printdirtcheap.com and they make printed goods like stickers, banners, really anything printed. If you needed it, they can do it or source it for you. If you have questions, you can email them. But you can also use code SOFAKINGPODCAST to save some money and let them know that we sent you there so we get credit for getting them a customer. So thank you to Jimmy D's Tees. He has his own t-shirts. He makes t-shirts. He makes our t-shirts. If you need t-shirts, he can make them for you. And you can also use code SOFAKING to save some money with him. He does good work and he already has some funny shit. You might want to buy something. Go check it out and follow him across social media at Jimmy D's Tees. And last but not least, thank you to Digital Creations for our coffee mugs. Those are available on our website at sofakingpodcast.com/shop. If you want to help support us, we have t-shirts. Twisting Brad's arm to get some more merch up. We're trying to do maybe
tank tops are up.
Yeah, tank tops are up.
They've been up. Yeah.
Maybe some hats.
Oh, you didn't look?
I haven't looked at. No.
Oh, yeah, they've been up.
I've been busy doing other shit. But yeah, we're looking at trying to do some hats maybe. So if you want to support us, it doesn't have to be Patreon. But man,
yeah.
If everybody gave us one fucking dollar, this would be our job.
Share the posts, share the love. Buy stuff. Yeah. Whatever it is.
Yep.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all I got.
Thank you to the Skull Member of the Month, Patrick's Jamiroquai Cole. That's his middle name. Mom named him after the pop singer.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome, by the way. Love that guy.
Jamiroquai.
Furry hats, Jamiroquai.
Yeah, crazy dances.
You like Jamiroquai?
Crows.
I don't know who that is.
Good answer.
What?
I'm not paying tons of attention.
Jamiroquai.
Mm-mm.
You know who Jamiroquai is?
Mm-mm.
It's PJ Cole's dad.
No, I haven't met.
Yeah.
He's not home when I'm there.
He fucked PJ Cole's mom with the hat on, with the furry hat.
Yeah.
Jamiroquai did?
Jamiroquai.
He was doing those dances.
I thought you said that was his dad. Oh, it's his dad.
Yeah, he fucked. Yeah. Fucked PJ Cole's mom with the hat on. I can't believe you don't know who he is. Makes me angry. Anyway.
Makes me sad inside.
So thank you, PJ Cole. Thank your mom, really. I mean, and giving you that sweet middle name.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's only important to have your middle name shown when it's something sweet.
Exactly.
Other than that, nobody cares. Is that it?
That's it.
Oh. Go to Reddit, r/selfkingpodcast. You can add topics there. David looks at those.
Yep.
Go to Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at selfkingpodcast. Follow, like, subscribe, comment, share, and you have an opportunity to win things. And personal Instagrams, I am at Raised with Wolves. You have Sofa King Brent and Sofa King Dave. Also check out Jimmy D's Tees, the Captain S _ SK Quotes, and Hilgenfeld. If you're not part of the unofficial SK Ultra fan group, join in the conversation there. A lot of like-minded people, I guess.
Yes.
And go to patreon.com/SofaKingPodcast, and you can get early episodes and all the things that go along with that. Sure, some more gifts are going to be given out for the 500 clubs and the 200 clubs.
Yep, I just got a bunch of whiskey glasses in for those who are owed. So if you think that you're about to get that, you might be.
So also go to Spotify and check out the Sofa King Podcast 2019 playlist. And all the current songs are on there. So if you like the music, you can get it there. And don't be a retard.
Many niggas suck. Yeah. I'm the type to never play pretend. Even lyrical niggas, they might have lost their pen. They lost within them, flossing in the carcasses of those who think. Think a hog with this. Hawking spit, pop your lips. Apocalypse, no armistice. The book of Genesis, out in this bitch. Recreate life just to prove that I'm winning shit. 7 days, 7 nights, 7 years, you still a bitch. Taking jabs at my ribs and shit. I'm Slater, bitch. Snakes and grass, faking shit. Clout chasing just to make it quick. Oh my God, you found God, I found God, now I'm in my bag. You Isaiah, you my son, sacrifices, please don't make God mad. I'm the realest, yeah, you feel it, cleanse a nigga, no need for body bags. I'm that nigga that you wanna be, I'ma say it one more game. Goddamn little nigga. I'm that nigga that you wanna be, I ain't charging what I oughta be. Don't you ask me if I'm ever free, I ain't even got time for me. Talk is cheap, 60K, I did it in a week. I don't flex, I let the numbers speak. I don't rap with niggas under me, you under me? All these niggas so dramatic. Swinging life like I was Cassius, counting money automatic. Centerfolds up in the mattress, rob banks, I'm steady blasting. Joey Fats with the fashion, gang gang. Pocket now, rocket power, pipe me down. Boosie with the wipe me down, bougie with the wifey now. Groovy on the hype and sound, Lucy's wanna swallow crown. PG County moving well, yeah, I'm the realest, know you feel it. Eastside nigga, I'ma kill it, save your chillin'. Mumble niggas made a million, I'm a pillin'. Stack it up and make a billion, Eastside nigga on the roll. Yeah, preach your feelings, let them know. Yeah, don't you claim you don't know. Yeah, the pain it just helped me grow. Yeah, hey, swipe your shit and slice your wrist for writing shit. Enlighten me, really think you nice as me. You try to be, probably cause spitefully you eyeing me. No lying me, just lying teeth. I slice the beef, fuck you mean, out the way, meet the bricks. Watch your lips as part and kick it down the ditch. Niggas really wanna go to war with this. A fork and grip, the formal kiss. Long distance relationships, we air it out, we parents now. No marriage vows, you carry shells, very well. No funny shit, SNL, no curtain calls or close hotels. They wish you could, I wish you would, I wish you well.